Hello, basketball fans. What's going on? It's Cam Ball Ray here. We're giving you audio podcast number 3. And with me today, I have from TSN Radio One-on-One and All Balls Don't Bounce, Mr. Dwayne Watson.
Hey, thanks for having me on the podcast.
Well, thanks for coming on here,
Dwayne. I'm a big fan of Cam Ball Report, I have to let you know.
Well, thank you, sir.
I'm a long-time fan, so really appreciate what you do.
Thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate that praise. As you might imagine, people, there was a game that happened last Thursday, and it featured some of our promising young junior national team players, among them Andrew Wiggins. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. But we do have eyewitness account coming from Dwayne Watson.
Now, I'm not as much of an expert as you are, but obviously I'm a kind of decent judge of talent. But it was a pretty great game. Great energy. A lot of people there. Jared Bayless of the Raptors was in the house, as well as Kevin Pangos was there too. So
right. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's great. So now we're gonna have the pleasure of picking Mr. Watson's brains as to the entire event, since I wasn't there. So I'm gonna try and get as much of the sights, sounds, touches, and smells of the whole thing. So I guess let's get right into this. What were your impressions of the game overall?
Obviously, you know, they came out, they did their warm-ups. It's really a glorified practice because you have both coaches from both teams. They're running their own plays against each other. And in the early setting of the game, guys were a little tentative, a little hesitant, not necessarily just in their rhythm. But by the second quarter, things had definitely moved up. And, you know, there was a lot of talent. Like, you could see, I think the key players really stood out from the rest of the pack. I know they got some players they got to whittle down off the team before they go to Brazil. But a lot of talent. A lot of potential, which is very promising.
Excellent to hear. Now, usually in cases of events that are held by Canada Basketball, nothing against Canada Basketball, but there just seems to be a lack of fan attendance, but maybe not as much as we would expect as basketball fans. How did you find the crowd and the environment that they brought?
You know what? The energy was really good. Very good crowd. Lots of excitement and passion. I think one thing, especially when you get into lower levels, like, there's a lot of friends and people they know of these players who are generally excited and happy with them. So I find when it goes to this age group, there's a lot of passion and energy. I think if we're talking about senior men's, the turnout's not, the excitement isn't, the pizzazz isn't there yet, although there is promise for the program. But there's lots of kids, lots of family, lots of friends. Lots of basketball people who know the game, so the energy was really good.
Excellent. That's great to hear. I mean, particularly for a program that's up and coming at this point. Now you did touch that there were two celebrities that were there in Kevin Pangos and Jared Bayless, and of course seeing people like that at events like this is always a good sign for the event and the game itself. Was there anybody else of note that you saw there with on that level of?
That was the top of the food chain. I mean, people who I know, and Huggy from Grassroots was there. Obviously, Rowan Barrett from Basketball Canada was there. He addressed the crowd. And one of the things that he said I thought was pretty important was just looking at the future of the program. And like, these guys represent the future because in 5 years from now, they're going to be part of the senior team. And looking at the talent that's there at our disposal, that's competing in the U.S. and globally, I think is really promising, and that's kind of one of the things that excited a lot of people, I found, as well.
Well, that's actually pretty interesting that you mentioned that Rowan Baird addressed the crowd. That's something that seems to be a new thing. So I don't remember that happening in any of the games, actually, until after the games were over, and it's like an appreciatory kind of address.
I think kind of like, you know, this is a new regime, obviously, with Steve Nash and Rowan Barrett at the helm right now with Basketball Canada. And, you know, I had a conversation with him a few days ago, and he was just talking about how they've always been very passionate about Canada basketball and really wanted to be able to help and turn the program around because they knew the talent existed. And that's kind of some of the stuff he expressed. And I think he's kind of setting the tone for, like, you know, this isn't the same old Canada basketball right now. And the talent they have and the desire and passion they have and the money they want to put behind it is kind of a testament to that.
That's excellent. That's excellent to hear. And I guess just as a little side note, I think that, is there a connection between you and Ducky by any chance?
Many years ago, I had the experience of playing basketball against Rowan Barrett, aka Ducky, was called back in the day, in high school in like grade 10. And he was pretty phenomenal. He had hops. He was crazy, crazy talented. So we have a bit of a history back there as well.
Now my question that I'm curious about is, did you happen to get one on him?
I did not. I came in front. I did not. I was a junior. It was my first year junior, and the team actually I was playing on the year before, they actually won the provincial championship. So it was a pretty solid team, and I was just coming in. So I wasn't like, you know, the man that I am now, but, you know, that was his last year before he went down to West Hill and, you know, St. John's and the rest of his history from there.
Right. So, if you're hearing this, you didn't get him, but I'm sure that he will try and get you like I would.
Exactly.
Now. Okay. All right. So now moving from Ducky from Rowan and addressing the crowd, how did you feel about that address? That's something that I'm kind of curious about.
I felt good about it. I think they have a lot. I think personally for me, you know, being a basketball fan for a while, had very little belief or confidence in Basketball Canada in terms of the product they were putting on the floor.
Fair
on
enough.
The court. The recruitment of players, the mysterious absence of certain players, whatnot.
Fair enough.
And I feel that one thing that Steve and Rowan have done that I've seen is that they're very in touch with the kids who are playing in this game. Like, on a grassroots level, it's not like, okay, we know the NBA players, the collegiate players. They're reaching out and developing relationships with the kids who are on this level and the people who are around them, which I think is very important because that's the future of the program. So I know in the past it used to be like, you know, it's a privilege to play for Canada basketball, and if you did, that was it, and they didn't care. But people were always like, I mean, we know. We saw that there's a certain place who wouldn't be part of the program. So I think, you know, he basically appreciated the support from everyone being there and kind of said that this is a new regime, this is a new day.
That's a very good point that you do bring up there, that there were absences from national teams in the past. And I think, like you mentioned, this is a very big step for the program to not necessarily connect themselves, but, like, I guess be more involved with the younger players.
Well, yeah,
at this level.
For sure, because we know that, you know, there's some AAU programs that basically told their players not to play for the program. And when you have, like, some of your most promising talent not playing, it shows, and that's why we don't make it to the Olympic champion, you know, Olympics or World Championships.
Right.
We can't qualify. So.
Right, right. And I think this is probably going to be the biggest step, I think, going forward for this program with these connections. I mean, it's obvious that we do have elite-level talent. It's just a matter of getting the talent to play. And I think these connections early on are what's going to help bring that to fruition going down.
Definitely. And the coaching as well. I mean, Roy Rand has done a really good job with this squad and the staff that he's assembled in terms of, like, you know, preparing them for the next level. And I think, you know, we have the players, we have the coaching, we have the commitment from the program.
Right.
I mean, I'm being an optimist, but I think only positive signs lie ahead, right?
And I agree. I definitely agree. Now, you did mention Roy, and I've been following the national program for a little bit here, and Roy usually works with the cadet team.
A little bit, like very modestly, like a little tapping in that one.
A little bit, a few.
See, since it's your own podcast, you can't toot your own horn, but I will toot your horn that Mr. Campbell Ray, is the most informed person when it comes to Canadian basketball, whether here or abroad, online. If you have a problem, come see me. He's the man.
I appreciate that.
No
I appreciate that, sir. I try. I do what
I
can.
And I can speak for my colleague, Will Strickland, who will say the same thing. You are a specialist in your field.
Well, thank you. Big shout to Big Will. He's not here, but big shout to him regardless. Now, getting back to this Roy Rana guy.
Yeah.
He's coming off of coaching the Hoop Summit International team again,
yeah.
Second straight year. And like I mentioned, he usually has been with the cadet team. Now, he did coach the junior. He's apparently coaching the junior national team this summer. And I guess that's a step that I thought was odd until I thought about it some more. And it just makes sense. Now, before I get into my thing, how did you find him with the team at the game?
He had his assistant coaches coach. So
okay.
He was basically stepping back, but he was also giving, you know, inside information and talking to players,
okay.
You know, as he saw it on both sides. But he was more of a hands-off. We were kind of really overseeing it.
Okay.
But I did stop in the
okay.
practice, the tryouts.
How was that?
The last day, which is, you know, was a tail end or whatever. But he was very, very much teaching and very much, not strict, but he was very clear at what he was looking for and was very quick to remind them. And in terms of reminding them the level of competition they had. So, I mean, obviously it's from a tryout, but, you know, he's a solid coach. His track record speaks for itself.
Right.
And he's
right.
committed to winning, and he's done that on the international level, which is great.
Right, right. Exactly. And well, I'm going to come back to that assistant coach's comment that you made. But I just find it I found it a good move by Canada Basketball to have him move up with his players that he's been coaching for at least the last two summers. Yep. I think that's going to be a big move in keeping that connection of the players, the coaches, and Basketball Canada.
Yeah, especially at this time. I mean, you know, it might be idealistic to think that he moves up with them again when they move to the senior level, but at this time when they're really trying to really move the program along, it's good to have that consistency, especially when these are the most important players right now. I mean,
right.
They are.
Right. So. Exactly. Now, moving back to that assistant coach's comment, I did recall that in the emails that we had received from Canada Basketball that there were going to be assistant coaches that are officially assistant coaches, and then also, I guess not necessarily tryout coaches, but like coaches who were going to be with the program being mentored by people who have already been through the program, like Rana. How did you find that interaction, or did you even see any of that interaction at all?
I mean, it was basically like they were coaching the game. I mean, okay. I'm not sure who is. I know that they have a lot of people who are like, I know, like Leo Routens is involved. Not Leo. Leo's long gone.
Omit that.
Thank you. That's a bad word.
Yes.
Jay Triano's helped in terms of implementing offenses for the team.
Right.
And like using like offenses that NBA teams run. Like it's like, okay. Show Wiggins, this is a play that Memphis runs for Rudy Gay and stuff. So
right.
He's not obviously coaching the team, but there's assistants, there are people that are around Basketball Canada have been around that are helping this team on numerous levels aside from just the direct coaching to be involved.
Okay. And now you mentioned Jay Triano. Was he at the practice or did you?
Jay Triano, no. He wasn't the practice. Okay. He was in the game. I bumped into him with you.
Right.
At the women's practice. But I mean, as the co-head coach of the U.S. Select team, I think he probably can't be that involved with what's going on the men's side.
Right. And I guess just in case you guys didn't know, he is going to be with USA Basketball for this summer. And I guess getting some advice from him is reasonably acceptable. Yes, it is. Okay. Now moving to the game itself. Again, I wasn't there, so I'm curious to know your thoughts on certain players and how they performed. You are a basketball player. You've played at levels. You still play.
I like how you say at levels. Yeah.
Yeah. You've played at.
I played at very high
levels.
I know the game. I do all right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm a fair arbiter of talent.
And on top of that, you are also the man of the Raptors for NBA.com.
Oh yes, I am.
Yes, he is. So he sees talent at an elite level on a nightly basis. So
depending on which team you're watching.
Of course, of course, of course.
I'm not dogging the Raptors though. But
I'm going to qualify this guy by saying that. So give us an idea of guys that stood out or things about the game itself that stood out for you.
Well, it was Andrew Wiggins. It was his night. I mean, the energy was there for him. He had. I don't want to use the words. I hate using the word swagger. But he had a kind of air about himself that, you know, he felt very confident and very comfortable in the court.
Okay.
He makes things look very, very easy with his... He's athletically gifted. He's great ball control.
Okay.
You know, he didn't, like, drop 30 and 10 or whatnot. And, I mean, it was a little difficult in that game because they were getting, you know, balanced time for all the players.
Right.
But he looked really good. I saw a lot of what I've been hearing about this kid.
Okay.
In terms of being able to play at that level.
Okay. Now saying that, have you seen, you know, YouTube clips or mixtape stuff?
Well, of course.
Stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it's funny, I was talking to Jamal McGlure. I was asking about Jonas Valanciunas. I'm like, what have you seen? He's like, I've seen highlights, but when you see highlights, you always see all the good stuff, right?
Of
you never see the bad, you never see the turnovers, whatnot.
Of course.
But yeah, so he did look good in terms of watching for a whole game.
Okay, all right. And of course, that's what we would expect from a guy who has had his kind of, had his name out there for so long, had the focus on him for so long.
Yeah, and I mean, he didn't go all out, and not in the sense where he was like coasting, but I think he wasn't. Part of it, I feel, is like these are his teammates, so he's not really going to go ham on his teammates, right?
Right, of course.
But, you know, he settled for his jumpers. He went to the lane, but he wasn't, you know, I think watching him in a competition against a different team is going to be different than watching him play against his own team.
Of course. And that's so true. I mean, you don't want to show up your own guys on your home floor.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. Yeah, it makes total sense.
A player who I was very looking forward to seeing was Trey Lyles.
And you came away with?
Isn't he seventh in the country?
He's
ranked seventh, whatever.
He's already a high ranked.
But
player,
he's in grade 10, which I wasn't aware of. I thought he was a little older.
So did I, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that this morning.
Because the big thing is, I didn't really see. I didn't come away with much with him. He's 6'9", big kid, biggest kid on the floor for his team.
Right.
But he wasn't playing inside. He was playing more like a stretch four kind of thing.
Okay.
He settled a lot for outside jump shots, which I thought, you know, like, we had smaller guys covering you, you should have taken it. But what I saw was that he was a younger kid. He just still kind of, he didn't look uncomfortable, but he didn't look like, you know, how Andrew kind of would come in there and take control of the game or some of the other players.
So would you say that he's just lacking a little bit of that elite level confidence? Like, he's confident in his game, but he just needs a little bit more
experience. Yeah, he's got a good touch, but I could see it being, I could see the age being a factor there. I was a little disappointed. I was like, you know, up until the end of the game, I was like, kind of like, I'm not really impressed. I'm like, he's in great 10. I'm like, really? I go, okay, well, I get it now. Like, he's not, okay. He hasn't come into his own yet. But he's got a great touch, you know. So, I mean, there's definitely lots of potential there.
Okay.
And it was obviously a big find by Canada Basketball to get a kid who's been in the States to kind of come play for our program when USA Basketball was looking at this kid as well.
Exactly. And I guess if you're not familiar with Trey Lyles, he was Indianapolis Player of the Year last year.
Right.
Which is some credibility considering that Indiana is among the hotbeds of basketball in the U.S.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Right. And, I guess one guy that I was curious to inquire about was Xavier Rathan Mays. This guy's been getting some buzz on the AAU circuit. Lots of stuff going on about him. I recently posted a link about Memphis talking about him. He has some offers. Playing on a stacked Huntington Prep team right now. I mean, right. How did you find him?
It's funny because I've been hearing a bit about him, but you know, you sent me a message, said, "Yo, definitely look out for this kid." And I didn't have to look very hard because he definitely established himself very early. Great attacking the hole, good poise, very good passer.
Right.
Sees the floor very well. Like, you know, he'd penetrate and draw a defender, and you know, he had a shot, but he'd pass it for the better shot for his teammate.
Right.
So he looked really good. He was one of the standout players of the day for sure.
Now I've seen clips of him as well, highlights mostly, and he looks very poised. Did you see did you get a veteran feel that? Well, sorry, did you think he had a veteran feel when he had the ball in his hand? Because he's listed, I think, as a point guard. But he seems to get to the hole quite a bit. So I'm not too sure if he swings between the two.
Yeah, I think he was. You know, there's always those combo guards. I think he is a point guard, but he definitely has the ability to get to the hole when he wants to.
Okay.
But he's not always looking for his shot. But you know, it's hard to say veteran when we're talking about guys
of
this age. But definitely had a leadership quality about him,
right.
which was key. I mean, him and Tyler Ennis were the guys kind of like running the offense.
Well, now you mentioned Tyler.
I should mention Tyler.
How did you find the New Jersey Player of the Year?
Tyler was really good. He played really sound. He missed a few shots.
That'll happen.
Yeah, that'll happen. I mean, I think he was 4-for-14, which he wasn't as bad as the box score, did you believe? But he made the game-winning shot of the game. They were down 2 points. Wiggins got fouled on the three-pointer, and he made two of the three shots to tie the game up. And he made a nice, clean move and a driving layup with 6.5 left on the clock.
Right.
And I got the game winner. It was a really tough play, a really big play. And that's kind of like that clutch heart, you know, having the ball in your hands and wanting to take that shot, which was great.
That's excellent. And, I mean, again, as I said, he was State Player of the Year playing at St. Benedict. So that's something that you would expect from a guy like that playing in a tough state,
yeah.
On a tough team, tough AAU team. You know, he's definitely got that kind of you know, elite level swagger. and you know, I'm kind of sad that I missed that game winning shot.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was kind of exciting because it was like, you know, exhibition game, but it actually had that kind of intensity down the stretch. Okay. You could tell, but definitely until they were playing.
Okay.
Kazakine was actually a really solid point guard player as well.
We'll talk about him then for a few.
You know what? Just very solid. You know, did all the right things,
right.
You know, and very good, very disciplined. So, I mean, like, I think definitely in the backcourt, I like what I see from this squad.
Okay.
Obviously, off the wing, Wiggins is going to be phenomenal. Right. And I think inside that, you know, they're going to have guys who are going to make plays and do the defense and stuff. But I really like, I haven't seen this team play against someone else, but in terms of watching it, I really like what I've seen, though.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot for that game report. Now, you know what? This is actually something I wanted to ask, and I think I should ask a little earlier, but not to say anybody disappointed, but who did you think would have come in thinking, oh, I had X amount of expectations of a person, but you know, they came up a little short for whatever reason.
Really, I'd probably say Trey Lyles. Like, because, you know, you hear, I mean, anytime you're scooping up some guy from the States that's good and he's right. ranked and stuff, whatever, I'm expecting him to come in. And you know what? It wasn't because he didn't perform. I just felt that at his size, he didn't take the ball inside.
Oh, okay.
He'd settle for jumpers and they weren't knocking him down. So it's like, he didn't, so, okay, let me take this inside. And that disappointed me. But it was, I wasn't like, this kid's a bust, but I was a little disappointed. I forgot, actually, Dwayne Otis played really good as well for them.
Yes.
Yeah. See, did I mention Dwayne Otis?
No, not yet.
Oh, sorry. You're setting me up?
No.
No, I neglected out the top players who I thought played really well. He played really good. Lyles, you know, I really didn't. So, Lyles only because I had expectations for him. The other guys who we've talked about right. all kind of delivered. Okay. So there wasn't any, and anyone else who wasn't that great, I wasn't really like expecting big things out of.
Right.
But yeah, I think they've got a disciplined squad.
Okay, so then, I guess to end this off, let me ask. Oh, did anything about this whole event surprise you?
You know what? I think I feel with Canada basketball was at a very low spot, so it almost couldn't get any worse. So
okay, fair enough.
They're on the upswing right now, obviously. I think there's a lot of excitement. I'm personally excited with what they're doing. So anything would have been an improvement based on last time. So
okay.
I'm not trying to say lowered expectations, but I'm kind of excited about what's happening. Obviously, we know there's a lot of young talent that's in the system. They're doing their best to, like, you know, nurture it and make sure that it gets to the next level. So I don't want to say it didn't surprise me, but I expected, you know, excitement, a good turnout, and some great ballers. So
excellent. Okay. So not like I guess I don't want to say pleasantly surprised, but I mean, is that even an accurate term to use of this?
Yes. Or? Yeah. Yeah. I think. I mean, I can't speak on the talent that the other countries have to offer. Obviously, you know, the U.S. will be solid, and you know, the general powers that are. I think there's a possibility that this team can medal. You know, Brazil. I think there's a lot of talent there, and I think that Ren has proven he's a good coach on the international level, that he can get together. So,
oh, excellent. Well, yes.
I guess I'm putting it out there.
Yes. So mark that here, people. one-on-one Watson is saying a medal.
He's calling for a medal.
He didn't state the color, but he did say a medal.
Exactly.
And you know what? I can't lie. I'm with him on this. The talent assembled, I think, for this team is amongst the best that we've had in a little while. And that's not to say that we've had bad teams, but we just have more of the guys that we would want to have seen on other teams here. And the talent is now maturing.
Yeah. And one big thing I actually forgot that Rowan mentioned, he said that every kid they wanted on this team is on this team. Where in the past where they'd want kids, some kids want to come, whatever. Yes. And that's a big thing. Like, all the players are there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, then that's actually even more important that we got all of our players that were targeted. Yep. And that's important, is that the targeted players are here. I'm sure that a lot of kids would want to play on this team.
Well, and the other thing is, sorry, I keep jumping on your thing, but he said they had open tryouts, which they haven't done in the past, because it's always like, they knew who they want, whatever. But the fact that, you know, when Roman said, he's like, I was a kid, he's like, you know, I wanted that chance to play, and, you know, I got that chance, but I don't want, you know, when you have these tryouts, it's like, they know who they want, so it's already a fix. It's like, they had it, and they found some kids who were actually good that are going to be part of the program that they can nurture and develop.
But that's actually interesting that you mentioned that. I would never have thought that they would have brought them, like, think about bringing them in and then actually developing them at that same kind of level. So that's actually a bonus for us to have that going on.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, people, there you have it. Mr. Dwayne Watson is giving us his rundown.
I'm just trying to be the Campbell correspondent.
He gave us an excellent rundown of a game that I should have been at, but was away due to prior commitments. And, I mean, we do appreciate...
you were there in spirit. People were asking for, where's Campbell already, man?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Ryan Wolstaff from the Sun was asking for you, so, you know, you were missed.
Oh, well, thank you. I was otherwise at dinner with my wife who was graduating, so...
That's important stuff.
Well, yes, it is. Thank you very much. Thank you. I wish I could have been at the game, but I couldn't. But Mr. Watson gave us a great rundown. I hope that gave all of you who were not able to be there, like myself, a more rounded view of the game itself and the event overall. Again, thanks for listening. Dwayne Watson.
Dwayne Watson, TSN Radio 101, and All Balls Don't Bounce.
And then come season time, you can catch him at...
NBA.com, courtside, all the Raptors games, you know, do my report thing.
Ballin'.
Trying to be like Ray.
Right, ballin'. Dwayne Watson is ballin'. All right, folks, I'm Can Ball Ray. Thank you for listening. And remember, basketball was invented by Canadian. Peace.